हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमाविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 131. The Kumaras and Narada are invested with Shakti of Jnana and Bhakti. Prithu and others are invested with Kriya Shakti action. Some are invested with great powers and others with little power. Included in the first type of great powers are Kumaras and Narada. They are called avatars. Others with less power, such as Marichi and the Manus, are called Vibhutis. But he who is called the 20th avatar, Krishna, is Bhagavan, not an Amsha. Nor is he an Amshi, Purusha avatar. He is Bhagavan. The avatari, Bhagavan, is the source of the Purusha, as already stated in the verse Jagrihe. Parusham Rupa Bhagavan Maha Mahada Dibihi. Bhagavan accepted the form of the Purusha, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.1. Thus, Bhagavan is different from the Purusha. It is said, right, we're making these differences here so we establish Krishna's transcendental position. Otherwise, then they're trying to make the point that it means there's no difference. It's all just mode of goodness and we can be that. Right? So if we're Narayan, but he's mode of goodness, then the problem comes up is then, but then what about the transcendental position? Right? So why don't they call themselves Brahman, Brahman? You know, like that, but they don't. Right? So you see that there's some material desire in there, that element of position and authority. It is said, Anuvaram anu tva tu na vidheyam udi rayet na hyalabdha spadam kaschid kudra chid pratishtati. One should not state a predicate before its subject, for it cannot thus stand without proper support. Ekadasi tattva. Thus, Krishna's tu Bhagavan means that Krishna, the subject, fulfills completely the qualities inherent in Bhagavan and the predicate. It does not mean that Krishna is another form of Bhagavan. Thus, it means that Krishna alone is Bhagavan, the basis of every other form. This is made clear by the word Svayam. This means that Krishna is superior to the Purusha avatar called Bhagavan and even to Mahanarayan. Right? So you have to establish these positions, where Krishna is. Because then for us the importance is we understand that all these aspects are Krishna, but it's Krishna who is all these aspects. So at any one point you can see Krishna. Right? Because it is Krishna. Just he's taking that particular mood. Yes?
I think it's also mentioned in Brahma Samhita, Sarva Karma Karma. So he is the cause of the Mahanarayan, who is the cause of all other causes.
Yes. No, that's nice. Yes. Yeah, because everything else other than what's in Braj is expanding from Mahanarayan. Like that, because Krishna and Balaram, is Balaram, even though he's the first expert, he's in Braj. Like that. Yeah, that's nice. Another way to put the Sarvakarana Karma.
Yeah, it's actually in a commentary. I think Jiva was fine.
Okay, yeah, no, it's nice. Nice. Thus, in the Chandogya, then you also understand that all these aspects that are there that you say, I did this, and it's a cause, but all these are coming from the Lord. Right, so that cause that we're involved in is an instrument, it's still coming from Krishna. Right? And the cause of that, of our able to be involved as a cause, is coming from Krishna. Right? You know, so. Huh? You sure it's not a mixer or something?
I mean, vacuum.
Yeah, it sounds like a vacuum. I'm just thinking, what are they vacuuming? Vacuuming up the potato peels and all that. That'd be one way to do it, right? Yeah. Thus, in Chandogya Upanishad, it is said, Jayams cha purushaha. The purusha is greater than that. Sarvam kalvidam brahma. Everything is Brahman. Yat prana aditya. The pranas are the adityas. Having said this, everything is summarized by saying Krishnaya devaki putraya. This purusha sacrifice is subservient to Krishna, the son of Devaki. Chandogya Upanishad 3:17:6. By this it is understood that Krishna is superior to the Purusha.
You already say that. Is it that the Upanishads refer to Krishna as the son of Devaki than the son of Yashoda?
Are they saying no? But he's pointing out here is that is saying Krishna, the son of Devaki. So they're saying that the son of Devaki is subservient to Krishna.
Yeah, subservient to Krishna. But is it that the Upanishads more focus on?
Do the Upanishads more focus on Krishna, the son of Devaki? But I mean, so what? I mean, what's the context of us trying to understand that?
Because usually it has been said that he's 400, the son of Devaki. That is how he was born, and Krishna is 200. So like they don't consider him.
Who's they?
The devotees.
Yeah, but the point is we see what do the Upanishads say? Right? In the prayers of the personified Vedas, what do they say?
Yeah, they speak
of. Yeah, so you can't say as do the Upanishads say like this, because the Upanishads say just what is being said here by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And devotees don't understand it. It's just a matter of faith, it's a matter of service, it's a matter of, you know, mercy of Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a matter of logic. Mm-hmm. Those who pride themselves in logic, they won't understand these things. That's just, in other words, the intellectual aspects of the Vedas, they will never understand. Like that. So that's the difficulty. The mechanics of it, they can memorize things, but how it goes together, they won't have a clue.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. You know, it's just like, let's say somebody gets a dictionary in a language they don't know. Okay? They memorize that dictionary, all its meanings, this and that, and all that kind of stuff. Okay? Now they start to use it like that. Right? But how they'll put the words together and all that to make their sentences, well, it won't be, you know, according to how it's actually used. So unless they associate with someone who does speak the language, it'll never be, even though they may know more vocabulary than someone who speaks the language. You understand? So that's the whole point. Is intellectuals are if they're devotional, that's an advantage because they can learn so nicely. If they're proud, then they're at a disadvantage. But Krishna is counted among the avatars because he appears in Mathura and other places. Probably as a thing, do one thing, is those things that you don't understand yourself personally, ask those. Don't ask on behalf of others, because the questions you ask on behalf of others, they're actually from the Shastra Chakshus course. And at this point in time, it's becoming a distraction because no one else in the room needs to hear it. You understand? Previously, I let it run because no one was really catching. But you see, we went through 11th canto with no real serious questions from those who are the registered course people. Right? So, therefore, what you don't understand for yourself and your practice, ask that. Stop asking about all the funny things that go on, you know, wherever you heard them going on. You know what I'm saying? Because they're issues, and at this point in time, we want to stop discussing issues, especially when we go into Chaitanya Charitamrita. So it's just, you get to practice now, because from next year, you'll ask the question, I'll use the tactic that I won't even acknowledge that you asked it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so to avoid that, then we'll just start from here. Because otherwise these things, they just create a disturbing mood. Because the whole point of, one of the things, tolerance means forgiveness. Right? And that means is that someone does something wrong, okay, that's to be corrected. But that forgiveness is higher than the punishment aspect. You know, so that's why you see Haridas Thakur and Prahlad Maharaj are glorified because they forgive. Right? Are you saying? Jesus saves, they forgive. Okay? You know? So they're famous for that. People who are the ones that they are the punishers and the writers of wrong and all that, no one remembers them. You know? Like that. You know, unless it's Ivan the Terrible or something. Then, you know, they remember that. But I think in Russian, the translation is not terrible.
Fierce.
Fierce. Yeah, well, that sounds better. I mean, that's very Kshatriya. Ivan the Fierce. I mean, that's pretty good. But, you know, when you don't have, so they just change the, it's a synonym probably. Terrible is a synonym, but it's the wrong one. You know. You know, it's just like, let's say, some lady of the symmetrical face. You know, it doesn't sound very good, but if you say of the beautiful face, or the, you know, like that, or moonlight face, like that, that has some meaning. But it, you know, it means the same thing, right? Is that clear? So, in other words, how you yourself can apply these things in your own life? You ask, like that, and if it's, you know, does that make sense? So we have to be very, very careful. Otherwise, we get distracted by issues, just like here. We're still talking because it creates a particular mood. So we're trying to function at goodness and pure goodness now without the passion or ignorance to keep us awake. Right? Does that make sense?
Here they establish that Krishna is superior to the Purusha.
Yes.
In what context? We were talking about jivas and the avatars.
Because then they say that they can be Narayan. So Krishna is even superior to that. You know? And if you're saying he's superior and beyond, and they're non-different from him, they're superior and beyond. And so the jiva is different. But Krishna is counted among the avatars because he appears in Mathura and other places situated on the earth planet, performs pastimes like a human, shows mercy to the people of the material world, and appears and disappears. Gopaltapana Upanishad thus says, Sahovachabja yonir ya vata ranam madye sreshto vatara. Vatara ko bhavati yena lokas tushta bhavanti yam smritva mukta asmat samsarat taranti katam ashayava tarasya brahmata bhavati. Brahma said, who is the best among all the avatars, by which all the people are satisfied, whom remembering they become liberated from this world? How is this avatar the supreme Brahman? Okay, so then a doubt comes up. But how can you establish that Krishna is the complete form of God on the basis of this one statement? Krishna is tu Bhagavan Swayam. Right? Because in Sanskrit, that means the things that qualify go after. Right? Like in English, they go before. That's why if you know English, it's really hard to learn other languages. But if you generally you know other languages, it's easy to learn other languages. If, you know, you put your mind to it. And then English doesn't make sense, but you pick it up because, you know, all the commercials are in English, so, you know, you're going to pick it up some point. You know.
Can you give an example of this in English?
The beautiful girl. Sanskrit would be girl beautiful. So you know it's about the girl. Because, to say, if you put beautiful, that's the main thing. And then girl is just, it could be beautiful car, it could be beautiful like this. But you're saying girl, you know, it's about the girl, then beautiful, then it relates to that. So that's why he's saying here, the Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam, because it said Krishna's first, he's the subject. right? Then the other aspects that go along with it, then those are supporting his position. Does that make sense? Also, you have, you know, the endings and all that you don't have in English, really. I mean, some are there, some are, you know, how you say, archaically left over from previous connection to other languages. And so you have some, but in these others here, the ending, the subject actually has a specific ending. So you know it's the subject. So if you have a whole verse, whichever word has that ending in it, you know that that is the subject. So that's actually what the verse is about, and everything else is in the context of that. So when you word juggle, that's what they try to avoid. You know, it's just like, how you say, you are that, so the point is it's about Brahman. And the jiva is then a part of Brahman. But they'll try to make it that, no, we are the complete Brahman. So they juggle the meanings. That's the whole. There are countless statements. Okay. Oh, no, they're saying that in the beginning. Where does he come back in? Maybe it's here. There are countless statements which refute this, such as the following. Yados cha dharma shilasya nitaram muni sattama. Oh, best of munis, you have also described the descendants of Yadu, who are very pious and strictly adherent to religious principles. Now, if you will, kindly describe the wonderful, glorious activities of the expansion of Lord Vishnu, who appeared in that Yadu dynasty, right? So that's Srimad Bhagavatam 10.1.2. So it's that expansion of Lord Vishnu appeared in that Yadu dynasty. Because we know it's Shankar Shampujumna Aniruddha and Vasudev. So Krishna in that form is Krishna in Dwarka, then is actually the Vasudev of the Chaturvyuha. Right? So Krishna expands as him. But in that, he keeps that same kind of aspect of personality. But how much he's manifesting as Vasudev, as Dwarka Krishna, will be less than he's manifesting his original form as Braja Krishna. Because you don't need to have so much, right? Because Braja Krishna is about sweetness. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like... I've heard it quite a few times by those who are, generally beyond the position of youth or younger. That when there's, after the meal and they bring a sweet, and then after the first bite, then many times I've heard the comment, oh, this is nice, it's not too sweet. Right? Yeah. Does that make sense? So, in the same way, in Dwarka, they don't like too much sweetness. For them the right amount. But in, how you say? So that's why you see is that connected with the Braja Lila or the Bengalis, and their sweets won't fall into that category of, oh, they're nice, they're not too sweet. No? No, the analogy works. Or?
Yeah, okay.
Even in subjects also, they have to put sugar.
Yeah, touch, but that's not to make it sweet. That's the gujus, they make it sweet. But so the whole point is that it's a matter of. That he only has to manifest that much as the Lord of Dwarka. But as Krishna in Braj, he manifests his full range of his personality. Because he's dealing with the full internal potency. Right? Radharani is the Sarup Shakti. She's taking on that aspect of Hladini. So that's going to have much more unlimited aspects. Well, then when you were seeing that we're going into Mathura Dwarka and further expansions, that the emphasis will be more on the Kriya and Jnana Shaktis. Sweetness, of course, is always there. But it's different. Does that make sense? Vidyabha Te Kukshi Gata Paraf Puman. O Mother Devaki, by your good fortune and ours, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself, as an expansion, is now within your womb. Therefore you need not fear Kamsa, who has decided to be killed by the Lord. Your eternal son Krishna will be the protector of the entire Yadu dynasty. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.41. Right? So it's the same person. So in Goloka, he's always the same person. The same personality. It's just how much he's manifesting. Does that make sense? So in Vrindavan will be the full sweetness. Mathura, there'll be, you know, a slight reduction, but still a good volume. And then in Dwarka, it'll be, you know, less again. It'll be more than in Vaikuntha, right? Because there he's taking on a different personality, because there his mood is, I am God. Right, but in Goloka, he's always performing human pastimes. So he identifies in that way. So here he's saying that the Supreme Personality of God in himself, as an expansion, he's coming within the womb. So that means Dwarka Krishna there is an expansion. Tavi mao vai bhagavato harer amshav iha gatao. That Naranarayan Rishi, whose a partial expansion of Krishna has now appeared in the dynasties of Yadu and Kuru, in the forms of Krishna and Arjuna respectively, to mitigate the burden of the world. Right? So then again, a partial expansion. In the beginning of Bhagavatam, this chapter concerning the mysterious appearance of the Lord, Janma Guhyam Bhagavato, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.29, is called a sutra, since it threads together statements concerning all the avatars. So that the whole point is that his appearance, Janma, so if you understand how his appearance and all these aspects, his disappearance, one is that his transcendental position, so he just appears and disappears at his own free will. But then there's a further, if you understand that, you're qualified to go back to Godhead. Right? But when you understand that it's Krishna who's expanding as all these, and out of his free will, that qualifies you for birth. And in this chapter, Ete Chamsa Kala Pumsa Krishnas Tu Bhagavan Swayam is the Paribhasha Sutra, which supplies a general definition for the whole work. Thus, wherever avatars are described in the Bhagavatam, others should be known as expansions of the Purusha avatar. But Krishna should be known as Swayam Bhagavan. Right? So as Prabhu mentioned before, they're all coming from Purusha avatar. Purusha avatar is coming from Krishna. Right? So that way we know. So that Paribhasha connects all of them together. So this point of Janma Guhyam Bhagavato, about how his subtlety of his appearance, but then that further point that it all is coming from Krishna. Yes.
All those who accept Bhagavatam, they also accept this this verse as the Paribhasa Sutra?
Not necessarily.
So it depends on the acharyas?
It depends, yes. Because it depends upon, in your philosophy, when you, it means, like we said, you have your Sambandha Gyan, right? You're going to apply that as Abhideya and then Payojana. So, depending upon how you hold together the Sambandha, what's the relationship of those elements? That's going to define, you know, more specifics of your Abhideya and Prayojana. So, then in this, then in the Chintabhedabheda Tattva, when you understand all these things from there, then you'll understand it in this way, that he is, but he's different. So, they'll understand these things to a certain degree, but not as much, because they're only using a portion of the that philosophy. You know, it's just like what Om Purnamidah Purnamidam. Everything that comes from Krishna is perfect and complete. So even these philosophies are extensions of Achintabhedabheda Tattva. They're complete in themselves. They're perfect and complete. But there's still a original completeness in the original form of the Lord. Is that makes sense? Yeah. It has been said, Paribhasha yeka deshastha shakalam shastram abhi prakashayati yata veshma pradipa. The Paribhasha statement situated in one place, lights up the whole scripture, just as a lamp lights up the whole house. This sutra appears once in a work, and it is not continually repeated. Right? Because other things then points you're making, you'll have that aspect of continual repetition. But in the Paribhasha Sutra, they won't. Because that's the whole point of the sutra, there's the subtlety. But it holds it together. Just like Mahatattva is called sutra, because it holds together, it has that false ego. Because that's then where the various kinds of false ego come out. That's what holds the whole material existence together. Our desire to control and enjoy, then the facility to manifest that, that's sutra. Right? So then it's known in this way. Yes. Though there are millions of statements in the scripture, this sutra controls them all like a king. Thus, statements which contradict the sutra must be explained so that they agree with the sutra. Right? If it appears that it contradicts, you have to explain it in line with. So that's another problem when people say, oh no, but it's not logical. But the point is it has to be in line with that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Let us say there is a, okay, in a general principle, you know, everyone's going to, let's say they're going somewhere, doing something, they'll try to address themselves or, you know, present themselves appropriately, right? It's one of the points that Manu makes, is one of the trainings, right? So then we see in this especially, ladies have a proclivity for, you know, going to find detail on making the presentation, you know, appropriate for the situation. Right? So if this is understood, then let us say you have something that would seem contradictory. Like, okay, the girl's getting ready for the marriage, and the time for starting the wedding is here, and she's not ready. Right? Because you could say, you know, she's getting dressed for the wedding, so she should be here on time. Right? You know, we see that this is not a new thing, because we see that with Saraswati, Brahma's wife, for coming for that, then she was late, so he married Gayatri in the meantime. Then she came after, then he married her.
But it seems that the girls didn't learn their lesson.
No. Yes. That's there. But the whole point is now if you go by the Paribhasha Sutra, like that, then one can't get upset because it's about proper presentation. Right? Does that make sense? The man will be looking at it and the efficiency of that as the Kriya aspect. Right? Does that make sense? It's done properly and all this, or looking at the logic. So they may get upset. But if you understand the Paribhasha Sutra, then that's just the way it is. And if you can, you know, make the two match, then that makes it very nice. And if not, then that's the way it is. Is that... Yes?
Just to clarify, so if there is a conflict of interest, we should always go back to the origin. Why is it all happening?
Yes, yes.
And see that.
See that, and then you go out. Because as we said, you have to, like you're saying before, in the previous, you have the main point, then you have the things that go along with that. Mm-hmm. So you always have to remember that original position. You know, it's just like in relationships that if you, let's say, a couple gets together, that's based on appreciation of certain qualities and like this. But with time, sometimes due to familiarity, one forgets about these qualities. Though the qualities are still there, but other things become more prominent. And so then they'll say that there's difficulty. But if you go back to that original, what's there, and then progress from there and look at it, then the difficulty goes away. Everything becomes reconciled. You know, so this aspect is that's the point of the Paribhasha Sutra, and we won't know what that is. The Acharyas give that to us, then from that, if you look at everything, then you'll see everything is connected to how Krishna is doing all these wonderful pastimes with all the different devotees on how and whatever their position is that they want to approach Krishna. Right? Because we even see, as Narad Muni is pointing out, that, you know, even someone like Kamsa is approaching Krishna, you know, with fear. And because of that, or Shishupal with envy. But Krishna reciprocates. So they are Krishna conscious, but because of the medium they reciprocate, they're dealing in, Krishna reciprocate in that. So because they're envious, then they end up with their head cut off. You know, because it matches. Right? Because if they could cut off Krishna's head, they'd do it. You know, so it's just, it's in the same category. So that's the glory of Krishna, but depending upon what is there, that particular affection, that particular attraction, that particular taste, then you have all the different realms. Does that make sense? Yes.
It seems the difficulty here is that rasa follows tattva, how we look at it. But then when rasa happens, we can't experience it. Although we came for the experience, we can't experience it. Because it's all getting, you know.
Because that's that point of paroksha aparoksha.
Right.
Because when you're experiencing it, that's why we're trying to put ourselves into positions to experience the taste of the holy name. But to get us to do that, we have to use tattva because we'd rather be doing something else. So they're different but non-different. Tattva is simply explaining what rasa is, just the facts about rasa.
Yeah.
Right? So therefore Krishna is rasa, but he's also known as tattva.
Yeah.
Because whatever facts are being explained, it is him, so he is tattva. But whatever taste and experience is there is rasa, he is rasa. So it's all him. Even the mundane experience is him, but the problem is we're not seeing it connected to him. Right? So, but someone like Kamsa does see the mundane experience connected to him. But they still see it as mundane. But they see it's coming from him. Does that make sense? So, that's a step up. They get liberated, they go back to Godhead. So, that whole point of can always remember Krishna, never forget him, you could say that's the Paribhasha Sutra for all Shastras. You know, because Prabhupada said it's the most important. Everything, as far as rules go, this is the Paribhasha Sutra for rules.
Yeah.
Like that. You know, and then here, this Krishna's Tu Bhagavan Swayam, that's been given, that is what all the literatures are talking about. So if Bhagavatam is the essence, that's actually what everything's in connection to. So even when we're studying Vedanta Sutra, it still has to be in line with this point. So therefore then, those who have a mundane perspective, the six schools, then that you correct their philosophy by bringing in line with this sutra. Then you'll see is whatever is useful within their philosophy, because they're taking from the Vedic literature, so everything that they're using is useful. It's just that they have the wrong context and the wrong purpose. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so, since you're using a higher purpose, you may find that there's some adjustments in the details. Since the details that are there are all connected. You know, it's just like, okay, you have an ornament, it's made out of gold. Okay, then that would be, you know, let's say 24 karat gold. That would be good, right? No, it's okay? Yeah, okay. Okay, then if not, okay, 22 karat gold. You know, that also works. But then, you know, if not, then okay, 18 carat, you know, 14 carat, 9 carat. But then after that, then it goes down to, okay, then it's silver, you know, that's gold plated. And if not, okay, then depending on what color you want, then it's copper and gold plated. Right? And then it's silver, you know, no gold at all. You know, it comes down like that.
Yeah.
So you have but the point is ornaments and all that. So, when do we get into that? Yes, that all the rules are connected. So the point is, you're talking about ornaments and about that, you know, that niceness of and the value of them. That's the common point. But you'll see is that that can go from pure gold on down to various degrees. So the same way as the rules that are there, you have its natural original form. And then you have expansions from that depending upon your interest. Does that make sense? Yeah. Thus, statements which contradict the sutra must be explained so that they agree with the sutra. That is because these contrary statements are weak, since they belong to secondary subjects in the work. Right? Because it's only in secondary that you'll notice that there's a difference. Right? In the primary, it's Krishna. But when you get into secondary aspects, that's where you're going to notice difference. Differences. Like, let's say, you're cooking, you have, a recipe. Like that. Now, that recipe works. Now, if you're using potatoes for that recipe, or using cauliflower for that recipe, or, you know, kumquats for that recipe, you know, it's just whatever works, you'll see is that the difference comes there. Not in the recipe, not in the technique. Like Prabhupada gave, you put some ghee, put some chili, put some cumin, you know, when it's ready, throw in the vegetable, mix it around, like that, put a lid on it, and then now and again mix it like that, and put salt, some turmeric, and haribal. So you can put anything into that. Does that make sense? But, you know, so it's all sabji. But then you may say, oh, but this sabji, you know, is solid, while this sabji is a little softer, or this sabji is, you know, green, and this one's white, and that one's yellow. You understand? And so we're seeing contradictions, but it's all sabji. Does that make sense? You know, or different cuisines, right? Same subject, different cuisines. Or if you've ever seen, like the big festivals, Janmashtami or that, if you're dealing with the boga or that, then let's say, for example, everybody cooks a, depending on what it is, you know, some kind of, you know, or the season, cooks a cauliflower and paneer subject. But each one of them will be actually different. Even if just Bengalis cook it, let alone if, you know, somebody's Bengali, someone's Gujarati, someone's like this. It'll all be the same. It'll all be different. Right? Even though it's the same recipe, technically. You know? So, these contradictions, they're secondary. There's never contradictions in the primary. So when you see the secondary connected to the primary, they always make sense. So, yes?
So we see some devotees, they have this ability to deal with great amount of details, still remembering the purpose.
Right.
And some deal with details, but they always forget the...
Yeah.
Why is that happening?
That's just because it's just maturity in devotional service. Hmm. When you're dealing in devotional service, because means why we're in the material world because we see secondary only.
Yeah.
You know? We're exclusive secondary, you know, how you say. I'm not sure what you call it, secondary ites or secondarians, you know, like that. You know, so we just see that. And so, you know, so everything's, you know, about the body, and some people don't even really see the mind and stuff like that. You know, so the grosser it is, that's the common element that everybody's there.
Yeah.
And of that grossest elements, that engaging the senses and enjoying yourself, that's the bottom line that everybody can agree with, right? You know, that's why, how you say, a certain beverage is universally accepted because on the label it says enjoy, right? You know, others don't say that, you know, so they may or may not be as appreciated. Right? So the grosser it is, then the more secondary it is. You know, the secondary of secondary, that's basically everyone can relate to. Then those who are a little more subtle appreciate the primary of the secondary. We're not even talking about actual transcendental primary.
Right.
You know, more subtle, more intellectual, I'm not sure what would be the term, you know, we would have used the term tuned in, you know, or... That kind of thing. You know, they're aware of more subtleties, like maybe the metaphysical or, you know, things like this. So, then that's considered more, because you take more. But to be able to appreciate the primary, then that'll be the highest, right? And then within primary, we're discussing Braj, which makes it even more, right? So, the tendency is when we come to devotional service, we see the secondary. So, I'm a Hare Krishna because I have a shaved head and I wear a dhoti. Right? Which is fine, because that's the secondary that goes with the primary, but we're Hare Krishna because we chant Hare Krishna. Right? That's the actual point, you know? You know, because sometimes you see, you know, someone might be pushing the point of being a vegetarian, but not pushing the point of chanting Hare Krishna to somebody new that they're preaching to. But the point is no, the chanting is the main thing. Because if they chant, the other things will come. Because there's plenty of vegetarians that aren't chanting. You know, probably gives the examples of pigeons. They don't chant. But they're vegetarian. You know, like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the difficulty that comes up, is that in the beginning we only see the gross. And then with time we start to appreciate. It doesn't change the performance of the gross, like is also the secondary contamination of only seeing karma or jnana. Right? Because if it's not about the external, I don't do it. You know, for whatever, if I'm not going to get a material benefit from it, external benefit, why do I do it? Or if it's not, you know, useful in liberation, I don't do it. You know, on the material platform. But this ability to take everything and use it in Krishna's service, that aspect, that's yukta vairagya. So that works on all these levels, because you're taking the body and engaging in the Lord's service. So all they're doing is they're able to do yukta vairagya with the body, not with the mind, the intelligence, or sometimes the consciousness. But because the body's engaged and they're doing it for Krishna, they're involved in that environment, so they're somewhat Krishna conscious. And because of that, they advance, they get a taste, all the beneficial aspects are there. But as they get more purified, then they'll be more and more aware of body, mind, and words engaged in the Lord's service, rather than just body. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Can you say that all these six schools, they have their own so-called Paribhasha Sutras on which they base?
Do they have their own Paribhasha Sutras? I'm sure they do, you know, because they have their interpretation. But I would say that may or may not be there, but they have their own way they hold all the philosophies together. You mean, so in other words, what is their darshan? That's what we, or their mimamsa, like that. But what is there that, they may have, may not, it doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. We just deal with, you know, because they're not accepting the primary, they're dealing just with the secondary, so we're always trying to correct their improper conclusions based on their ability to only see the secondary.
Mm-hmm.
That is because the contrary statements are weak, since they belong to secondary subjects in the work, and because the sutra statement is strong, being supported by Shruti. Thus, these statements should be harmonized with the sutra by giving them another meaning. According to the rule, Shruti, Linga, Vakya, Prakarana, Stana, Sama, Khyanam, Samavaye, Para, Dorlabham, Artha, Viprakarshad. Where there is a combination of direct statements, inference, rules, discussion, philosophical stances, and interpretations, the latter statements are considered progressively weaker in authority. Because of their possibility of contrary meaning, Jaimini Sutra 3.3.14, this is not just deference to a rule. Right? So the direct statement always is over the indirect, or the inference. Right, rules are always have to be seen in above that. Discussions, then there's lower than that. Philosophical stances, because you can have so many of them. right? And interpretations, and even lower than that. So everything goes down. So you have to see that where it stands. So just because someone says no, but I have a discussion on that, and they want to take that as stronger than the direct statement, right? Because that's the whole point. When we make everything equal, then there's no difference between one and the other. You know, but if that's the point, then yeah, okay, you want to discuss it like that, and we're all gathered here for this meeting and all that, but you know, now's the time when my cat's hungry and wants to be fed, and since everything's equal, I'm going to go feed my cat. Right? So no one's going to appreciate that. No, this is more important. Well, if there's more importance, that means there's discrimination, but you don't like discrimination, therefore I'm feeding my cat. When you agree that there are levels of things, then we can talk. Sridhar Swami, so it's not just a deference to a rule, because rule is farther down. The rule is how you apply the direct statement. Sridhar Swami has reconciled things in this way in many places. Since there are many different avatars, such as Matsya and Kurma, and Krishna himself has two-armed and four-armed forms, as well displays ages, such as Kumara and Kishore, they are all said to be eternal. Does that mean that there are many gods? No. The 10th canto says, Bahu Murtyeka Murtikam. He is one God manifested as many. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:47. The jiva at different times shows different temporary forms with less or more power. But the one Supreme Lord who pervades everything by his inconceivable energy can simultaneously have infinite eternal forms which are not different from him. The jivas show infinite variety simply because there are infinite jivas. Right? It's not that one jiva is showing. There's just so many jivas. The Lord shows infinite variety of forms by being one person. Thus, when the jiva sees the Lord, he perceives the Lord as if there are many lords like jivas. Right? They just, in other words, atmavan manite jagat. You see in your own perspective. Right? Because there's so many jivas and so many different forms, therefore the Lord having many forms must be many people. But no, he's one form, one person with many forms. And even us, it's like how you say, many persons, one form, because they're all coming from combinations of the universal form. So that's why you see so many times that, you know, that you can pick people in categories because they're the same, you know, or even sometimes they look the same, like that. Is a German word for that?
Someone's
like,
huh? Doppelganger.
Doppelganger. Yeah, means that they look exactly the same, though they're not twins, like that. You have heard of that? Yeah.
Not the word.
Yeah. No. That's the actual technical word. You want a technical word? German. Like that. Or you could also use Latin. That's it. The Supreme Lord, bliss alone, knowledge alone, and all-pervading, manifests Amshi and Amsha. Is it possible for the indivisible Lord to be divided and subdivided? So that's the question, right? Mahavaraha Purana says, all the forms of the Lord are eternal, appearing constantly within the material world, with bodies of Paramatma, without any destructible elements made of Prakriti. They are completely filled with the highest bliss and knowledge, full of all good qualities and devoid of all faults. Right? So he said, there's no faults. Right? Okay. This is true, but though the Amsha forms are perfect and complete, they are called Amsha because they display only various degrees of the Lord's qualities, such as sweetness, power, and mercy. According to the particular goal, lesser powers are shown. In the forms known as Amsha, real completeness means fully displaying all the powers in full. This takes place in the Amshi. In Laghu Bhagavatamrita, so that's why you can say is the Purusha is also Amshi, because the aspect of manifesting as God, I mean, let's say as God, Namaha Narayan does that, or as the Purusha avatar, then that aspect that I'm the creator, maintainer, and destroyer, then all the incarnations, they're all performing those duties. So he's the Amshi that has all that aspect because everything's coming from Mahavishnu. And within the universe, a particular avatar does a particular thing. Right? Does that make sense? So they're an amsha of him as an amshi. But he is an amsha of Krishna. Because Krishna has the complete form. So this aspect is just a portion of Krishna. And as we mentioned before, the word is in... Oh, it comes right here. In Lagu Bhagavatam Rita, maybe this is the point coming up, is that... what's the point? Yeah, there's something. Oh, yes. That Balaram, this aspect of having these other aspects of he is God, he is the Purusha avatar, the creator, maintainer, and destroyer. That is there in a seed form in Balaram. In Krishna, he's the complete, so they don't stand out. With Balaram, you start to see a little bit of it, but not much. And it's only as Mahanarayan and as the Purusha avatar that you see that being manifest as that is the mentality and everything manifesting from them, that's that mentality. Because Mahanarayan, his mood is, I am God. Right? So therefore, as it expands through, it has that aspect. So even in Mathura and Dwarka, that's why he takes the four arms, because he is God. Right? But in Vaikuntha, it's just that mood. Does that make sense? In Lagu Bhagavatamrita, it is said, the manifestation and non-manifestation of Shakti is the cause of grading the Amshi and Amsha. Though the Shakti of the lamp and the bonfire is the same in that both can burn down a town, only from the bonfire one obtains comfort because it destroys cold and other types of suffering. Thus the difference between different forms because of display of complete or partial features has been experienced by the great realized devotees. Right? In other words, the principle is the same. So fire is fire. But we see in the bonfire, you have that great volume so you can appreciate that warmth. But on the lamp, you know, you're not going to really warm yourself up with that one. Mm-hmm. Yes?
When we say Amshi, Amsha, Avatar,
yes.
The same?
Yes, same, mm-hmm. Same. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam 7.3.34. No, it still goes on more down here. Oh, okay. Some time ago, being inquisitive to know, Sunat Kumar, the chief of the boy saints, accompanied by other great sages, inquired exactly like you about the truth regarding Vasudeva, the Supreme, from Lord Shankarshan, who is seated at the bottom of the universe. At that time, Lord Shankarshan was meditating upon his Supreme Lord, whom the Lord had esteemed as Lord Vasudeva. So he's saying that this question was asked before about the difference, and, you know, about Vasudeva, and then about Shankarshana, who's there, and he's pointing out in Shankarshana, he's meditating on his Lord, or his Vasudeva. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.8, 3-4. There is nothing contradictory if there are differences between the Amshi and Amsha, since the Lord is a spiritual substance. Varaha Purana says, Somshas Chata Vibinamsha Iti Ve Dhamsha Ishyate. There are two types of Amshas, the expansions of the Lord and the Jivas. Srila Swami says, though the form such as Matsya possesses all powers and all knowledge, since they are avataras, according to the circumstances, they display certain amounts of knowledge and action, and the Lord enters into the Kumaras, Narada, and others by his expansions or parts of his expansions. Right? So, what Rupa Goswami is pointing out is how much they're manifesting of that in the pastime. They have the full potency, but they only manifest a certain amount. Right? Some sense. There's an ancient explanatory verse. Nrisimha, Parasuram, Kalki, and the Purusha avatar show the power of the Lord. Narada, Vyas, Varaha, Buddha show Dharma, because they preach various paths of Dharma. Rama, Danvantari, Yajna, Prithu, display fame. Balara, Mohini, Vamana, display beauty. Dattatreya, Matsya, the Kumaras, and Kapila display knowledge which should be known by the wise. Naranarayan, Kumara, and Rishabha display detachment by their respective actions. Krishna is the great ocean of complete sweetness and complete display of the six Aishwaryas mentioned in the other forms above. He contains all avatars within himself and is the possessor of all Shaktis. This verse mentions the goal common to the avatars. The avatars create happiness in the world whenever it is afflicted by the demons and their ideas. So also their ideas are also, so you don't have to be a demon, it's the ideas that are there that is a problem. So that's why what's not in line with the Vedic version, that's always going to be a distraction from Krishna consciousness. Good. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.3.34. Let me offer my respectful obeisances under the Supreme, who, in his unlimited, unmanifested form, has expanded the cosmic manifestation, the form of the totality of the universes. He possesses eternal and external and internal energies, and the mixed energy called the marginal potency, which consists of all living entities. And so he has all this. Sutta 2.3.46. Anu gya pari harau deha sambandhat jyotir adivat. Anu gya, permission to act. Pari harau, cessation from action. Deha, of the body. Sambandhat, from the contact. Jyoti, I, adhi, beginning with. Vat, like. Because of relation with the body, the jiva is subject to actions permitted by the Lord and liberation arranged by him, just as the eye is dependent on the sun. Sutta Prakasha. The Sutrakara elucidates the difference between the jiva and the avatars of the Lord by a different analogy and logic. The sun is compared to the Amshi, Krishna. The sun's rays are like the Amshas, avatars, and the eye is like the Vibhinamsha, jiva. Both the eye and the sun's rays are considered the Amshas of the sun, but the eye in relation to the body exhibits differently and depends on the sun for its functionality. Right? The others are non-different. They're performing the same activities, but in a smaller amount. But the eye is a different, and it's dependent upon the others. So that's the thing, is the Lord is independent, but the jivas are always dependent on the Lord. Both the eye and the sun's rays are considered the umptious of the sun, but the eye in relation to the body exhibits differently and depends on the sun for its functionality, which is not the case with the sun's rays, since they are one with the sun. It was proved in Vedanta Sutra 2.3.31, Karta Shastrarta Vatvat. Vedanta Sutra 2.3.3. Oh, okay. And Vedanta Sutra 2.3.3, Upadanat, and Vedanta Sutra 2.3.39. Parat tu tach shrutehe, that the jiva's doership arises and depends on the Lord in the attainment of results, since this gives meaning to scriptures. Hence, in a similar fashion, the avatars possessing spiritual bodies are eternally liberated, whereas the jivas possessing material bodies are subject to bondage and liberation. Footnote 77. Srila Balarama Vidyabhushan refutes the Advaitin's concept of jiva non-different from the Lord. Here, someone may protest. The idea that the Supreme and the individual soul are different is a useless idea, not supported by the statements of the scriptures. In the scriptures, such descriptions are sometimes seen. They are only approximate and incomplete descriptions of the truth. They are like the statements, quote, in the morning the sun rises from the eastern ocean, and in the evening the sun enters the western ocean, end quote. Right, so they're saying it's not actually complete. Such a statement is only an inaccurate approximation, for the sun never actually rises from or enters either of those oceans. Right, I've heard an explanation where it goes down in the ocean in the west, then swims around to the east, and then comes up again in the morning. No?
Still in the oceans?
The son.
Who says that?
Calvin.
Probably.
To this I reply, those statements are all foolish, means of the person protesting. In the Shruti Shastra is said, a swan wanders in the great circle of material life. When he learns that he is different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and becomes active in his service, the swan attains immortality. Although the two birds are on the same tree, the eating bird is fully engrossed with anxiety and moroseness as the enjoyer of the fruits of the tree. But if in some way or other he turns his face to his friend, who is the Lord and knows his glories, at once the suffering bird becomes free of all anxieties. Svetasvatara Upanishad 1.6 and 4.7. So that's interesting to note, because of the two birds, then the Upanishad is defining as swans. So then when you turn to the Lord, that's when then you take on the nature of that swan. Otherwise, then it's the less swanny. Yes? In this way, it is seen that the idea that the supreme and the individual souls are one is an idea refuted by scriptures and also by common sense. The scriptures clearly state that the supreme is all-powerful and all-pervading, and the individual spirit souls are infinitesimal. The idea that the supreme and individual souls are not different is an illusion, like the illusion of thinking a horn can sprout from a human head. This idea that the supreme and the individual souls are not different is refuted by the Shruti Shastras, which declare that the supreme is all-powerful and the individual souls are subordinate to him and depend upon him. That is the relationship of the supreme and the individual spirit souls. The idea that the individual spirit souls are not different from the supreme is never taught in the Shruti Shastras. The individual souls, spirit souls, are identical with the supreme, then teacher, taught, and knowledge that is taught all have no meaning. For then the teacher and the taught are not different persons. But it's all one thing. So why give names of the same thing? Right? That means what's the point? So they're making this, pointing out that there's a difference, and then saying that there's no difference. When you say that they're all transcendental, they say, no, it's mundane, it's illusion. Right? So they're saying, when you say that they're one, and then where you say that they're different, they say they're one. So the philosophy is actually backwards. Where it should be one, they're saying it's difference. Where it should be difference, they're saying it's one. Right? Okay, Sri Govindabhasya, Siddhanta. Though the jiva is an amsha of Brahman, the scriptures say that the Lord gives permission and rejection of works to the jiva, because the jiva is related with the body, deha sambandhat, manifested because of beginningless, anadi, avidya. Right? So this avidya starts before they're in material existence. That's why it's anadi. These rules are not from Matsya and other forms, for it's stated in scriptures that they are devoid of relationship with material bodies and are directly the Supreme Lord. These forms are greatly different from the jiva. Permission, anugya, means the Lord inspires the jiva to do good or bad acts, according to their desires. Esha eva sadhu karma karayati. The Lord alone makes them do good acts. Kau Shitaki Upanishad 2.9. Rejection, pariharao, means that the Lord inspires them to give up these actions and thereby grants them liberation. Tam eva viritva ati mritum eti. Knowing him alone, one surpasses death. Suchi Subhutara Upanishad 6.15. So, someone who wants to do good work, he'll inspire him that. Someone wants to give up this work and attain, go beyond the material, then he'll inspire him in that. Right? That's one of the aspects of the Gayatri Mantra, is that the Lord inspires us in that transcendental understanding. But, yes? No?
Yeah.
An example is given. The eye, Jyotir Adivat, though an amsha of the sun, because of relation with the body, takes on various forms in different bodies and depends upon the mercy of the sun. It acts or ceases to act depending on the sun. This is not so for the sun's rays, because though the rays are also amshas of the sun situated in the sky, they are one with the sun. The jivas are like the eyes. The avatars are like the sun's rays, right? And the sun is avatari. Bhagavatam verse reference. Srimad Bhagavatam 6:16-57-58. When a living entity, thinking himself different from me, forgets his spiritual identity of qualitative oneness with me in eternity, knowledge, and bliss, his material conditioned life begins. Right? So when you forget that, and you just look at the external, and then try to make the connection there. In other words, if I'm seeing things in the primary connected to Krishna, whatever I see, though it's secondary, I'll see it in connection with Krishna, so it becomes primary. So it's always in relationship. But when we see, and so we identify with that, with Krishna, right, as servants. But when we give that mentality up and we see the external things that are secondary in connection with ourselves and are enjoying it, which is secondary, that's the beginning of the material consciousness. Does that make sense? In other words, instead of identifying his interest with mine, he becomes interested in his bodily expansions like his wife, children, and material possessions. In this way, by the influence of his actions, one body comes out from another. And after one death, another death takes place. A human being can attain perfection in life by self-realization through the Vedic literature and its practical application. This is possible especially for a human being born in India, the land of piety. A man who obtains birth in such a convenient position does not understand his self, is unable to achieve the highest perfection. Does not understand his self, is unable to achieve the highest perfection, even if he is exalted to life in the higher planetary systems. Footnote 78. Generally, the Mayavad philosophers or persons influenced by Mayavad philosophers think themselves as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? Remember, it said before, is either the demons or their ideas. Right? So here saying Mayavad philosophers themselves or their ideas. Right? Think themselves as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the cause of their conditional life. As stated by the Vaishnava poet Jagadananda Pandit in his Prema Vivarta, Krishna Bahir Mukha Hai Haya bhoga vancha kare nikata sthana maya tare japatiya dhare. As soon as a living entity forgets his constitutional position and endeavors to become one with the Supreme, his conditional life begins. The conception that the Supreme Brahman and the living entity are equal, not only in quality but also in quantity, is the cause of conditional life. Right? Because if you say the sky and the sky in the pot, but you understand, you call them sky and sky in the pot because they have the same quality. They're not different in quality. But, and so for us, you know, if you break the pot, then the air, the sky that's in that pot is still the same amount of sky. But it doesn't become bigger. But they have a mistake that they think the quantity is the same. Therefore, now the amount of sky in the pot takes over the whole sky. But then that means now you have two full skies in the sky. You know, starting to get crowded here. Right. Conditional life means giving up one body to accept another and undergoing death to accept death again. Right? So you take birth to take birth again, you die to take to for death again. Right, so that's why the devotee, he remembers Krishna, and then there's no more birth or death. The Mayavad philosopher teaches the philosophy of Tattvamasi, saying, you are the same as God. He forgets that Tattvamasi applies in terms of the marginal potency of the living entity, who is like sunshine. There's heat and light in the sun, and there's heat and light in the sunshine. Thus they are qualitatively one, but one should not forget that the sunshine rests on the sun. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Brahmano hi pratishtaham, Bhagavad Gita 14:27, I am the original source of Brahman. End quote. The sunshine is important because of the presence of the sun globe. It is not that the sun globe is important because of the all-pervasiveness of the sunshine. But you have to know which is primary, which is secondary. Does that make sense? So being able to distinguish that, and in being able to distinguish primary and secondary, being able to distinguish volume, like that, is important. Right? Because something is there, there's some sweetness there, but Krishna is all sweetness. There's some rasa, he is all rasa. There's some knowledge, he is all knowledge. So there's always going to be a difference. Right? Also another thing to point out is here is that the last example given, it used sun, sunshine, and the eye to go avatari, avatars, and the jiva. Right? But now in the same examples being used again, we're not using the eye, but we're bringing out a different aspect. Because the other one was showing the difference between the jivas and Vishnu, but the similarity between the avatars and the avatari. Right? Now in this verse, we're talking about the jivas as an amsha of the Lord, in that they're the energy of the Lord. And so now we're talking about the jivas in that position of the sunshine and Krishna as the sun. Right? So there's no contradiction because you're bringing out different aspects. Does that make sense? So this is what we're meaning by, because a word or an example is used in a particular way, in another case, in Vichar, it can be used differently. We shouldn't go, you know, but it was this before. That doesn't matter. You understand? Forgetfulness and misunderstanding of this fact is called Maya, because of forgetfulness of one's constitutional position and that of the Supreme Lord, one comes into Maya or samsara, conditional life. Right? So when you forget that relationship between you and the Lord, that's when you're in material consciousness. So it's a matter of consciousness, it's not a matter of location. Does that make sense? In this regard, Madhvacharya says, sarva bhinnam parat manam vishmaran samsared iha abhinnam samsmaran yati tamo nashtyatra samshaya. Or samshaya. When one thinks that the living entity is non-different in all respects from the Supreme Lord, there is no doubt that he is in ignorance. Tamaha. Srimad Bhagavatam 6:16:57. Right? So now he's the one that always emphasizes dwait. But you'll see in his philosophy, he's not saying that that this aspect of that oneness is not there. It's just that whenever you're dealing with any secondary, he will not deal with it at all. Does that make sense? So he's alluding that, yes, you have that aspect, but he's not bringing that out, because Ramanujacharya already did that, and it converted so many people, you know, back to the proper Vaishnava understanding. But those who are left, they're more stubborn, so therefore Madhvacharya has to emphasize the difference. Right?
In regarding to Sharis and Madhvas, and how they relate to the demigods.
Right.
According to this logic, then Madhvacharya would be avoiding them.
He's avoiding the demigod, but understanding that what makes the demigod is Krishna.
To accept their position.
Yeah.
But why Sharis, they avoid them so much?
Because they're just focusing on the Lord, so they don't need any other aspect. You know, it's just a matter of which parts of the philosophy, you know, become very prominent to you. You know, like hearing and chanting is most prominent for us. But others might, you know, focus on other aspects. But it's not that they're wrong. It's just that particular flavor is there. Because he's, as we said, he's bringing that out just to show the other aspect. The one is that you just give up and you're just doing Pancharatra. But in with Madhvacharya, Pancharatra is not a major aspect. He uses it, of course, but it's not, because with Ramanujacharya, Vedanta Sutra, Pancharatra, and the songs of the Acharyas. These are the pillars of his preaching mission. So then if it's you don't need any other worship. Well, Madhvacharya, everyone's doing all these things, but the point is what you're doing, it's actually Krishna. Mm. So what's left is those who did give it up. Then they take up what Ramanuja says. And it's very nice, like we don't worship demigods in that, but we see both of them. Mm. Right? But who is Madhvacharya preaching to? The ones that didn't give it up. So therefore, now he's pointing out as you're worshiping them, but that's actually who you're worshiping is the Supreme Lord. So the point is why worship them? Worship the Supreme Lord. Yeah. So you have to take it as just they're the ones that they're the most stubborn ones, and so then he deals with that. Yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.